Everybody, as I said, the subject of Amir al-Akum, asking a guy to do something for you on Shabbos is complex and long, and there's still at least another 2-3 weeks before we get through it. But let's continue and see some more dealing. As we've said, telling a guy to do something for us on Shabbos is also Gzeret Midrabanan, and since it's Gzeret Midrabanan, obviously it has exceptions, like we said, in the Makom Mitzvah, if you ask him to do a the Rabbanon, so it's a shvus of Makom Mitzvah. We'll come across an example of that later today. The Chazal word goes there, or they said it depends on how you tell him. So then it depends if you tell it to him as a hint, or you tell it to him as a, what we call the Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. You just tell him a story and he has to come to his own conclusion. So then it doesn't have an Amira because you didn't ask him to tell him anything about what he should do. You just, tell them a story and he came to his own conclusion. So that's the din of the Amira. And on the other hand, there's also a din of can you have benefit from what he's done. So we will discuss that, more of that today. First we'll start with the Gabi the Amira. So another case of Amira that is not considered forbidden is when you tell a goy to do something for himself. I mean, why would you do that? We'll see examples. But if I see a guy who's hungry and he has a piece of raw meat, and I tell him, you know what, you can take care of your hunger if you go and you cook it raw meat. Here, go cook the meat. So that is, you're telling him to go cook. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to tell a guy to cook for me. But if I tell him to cook for himself, then that is not a problem of Amira. What? The question is how that's going to play itself out. We'll get to it in a moment. But as the restriction of what I may say to a guy, this doesn't fall into the category of a restriction that I can't tell him because I'm not telling him to do it for me, I'm telling him to do it for himself. So, I'll give an example. If you have a domestic worker that's living or something like that, that's in your house, and she has a pile of clothing that belongs to herself that she has left to do mending on, and she is going to spend, say, an hour doing mending. Now, for your sake, you prefer that she does her own mending on Shabbos because you want your mending to be done during the week. If she does her mending during the week, she'll have less time available for you. So you want her to take care of her own needs on Shabbos so that she'll have more time on after. So even though you have indirect benefit from asking her, but at the end of the day, you're asking her to do her own mending, then it will be fine. Obviously, she has to do it in her room, not in your house. But you're allowed to go tell your domestic worker, today is the day you should do your mending. Go do your mending. Even tell her straight out, go do your mending. Or you can tell them, you need to cook something, here, go cook. Go cook your own lunch. Time for you to go eat lunch, go cook. And not only that, although I said that she has to do the mending, if it's her own work. Yeah, okay, so she does it, obviously she doesn't in her own room. What you can do also is you can tell her to go cook. Now, what happens if she needs matches to light the stove? You're allowed to let her use your matches. Or if she needs to use a pot without getting into Shabbos or Bishul Akum or making a pot treif, maybe you have a pot that belongs to you and it's a treif pot and she wants to use it. So you can let her use your equipment, your stove top, burner top or something like that, or your stove or matches or something like that. You may use your equipment as long as the main melacha that she's doing, the food that she's cooking, the meat or whatever it is, the porridge, belongs to her, then you may tell her to go cook her food, even if some of the utensils that she's using are yours. Also, if you allow her to use your utensils, whether that be the matches or the cooker's cup or something like that, you must not tell her directly, go use them. You just may, if she asks, you can give permission, but you can't tell her directly, oh, and use this, and you're telling her to use my thing. Another example that you can tell a guy to do is malacha in his own domain for his own things, even if your incentive is purely for yourself, would be if a fire broke out in the guy's house. So you can go to the guy and tell him put the fire out. You can ask him which guy let it burn it out. But let us say you have a guy who's not home, but you know where he is, and you know about a fire in his house, and you're able to get home. So you go over to him, you tell him, listen, there's a fire in your house, go put it out, go do what you need to do to get that fire out. Now, you might think that you're not allowed to tell a goy to extinguish fires, which is the halacha l'gabe a Jewish home, but l'gabe a goyish home, you can go find the goyish neighbor and tell him there's a fire in the house, go put it out. What's your incentive to do that? Is because if he doesn't put it out, it's going to spread to the next house. Yours is the next house, so you don't want to go that far. Therefore, you're protecting your own house. But really what you're doing is you're telling a goy to do a malacha in something that belongs to him, even though there's an underlying personal gain from it. Nevertheless, that amira is a mutter amira. Now, this all applies when he is, for the sake of the goy, using the items that belong to the goy. So as we said, you tell the domestic worker to mend her clothing or to cook her own food or the neighbor to put out the fire that is in his house, his room, his house or his domain, whatever it is. But the moment the item in use is mine, then it would be problematic. Therefore, you have a guy visiting, you can't tell him you may use my car because he's now using my item. On Shabbos, I can't go tell a goy now. It's not a question that he can't use my item. If I gave him the car on Erev Shabbos to use over Shabbos, that's not a problem. But I can't do the Amira and say, oh, you need to go so-and-so. Here are the car keys. Go take my car. I can't tell him to go drive my car because that is an Amira in an item that belongs to me. So even though the goy is driving it and he's doing it for his own sake, I'm doing him a favor. He needs to go to, he's not feeling well, he needs to go to the pharmacy and get some medication for himself, whatever the case may be. So I tell him, oh, go borrow my car. No. So that I can't tell him, although there's no problem of Shvisus Kalim, we'll see that in a moment what that's about, but nevertheless, I can't get him to use my item. I can't, the Amira here becomes, again, the Amira Dasura becomes a forbidden form of telling a malacha, telling a goy what to do. So too, even if a goy comes into your house and it's dark and he needs light for himself, you can't tell him go put the light on, even though he's in it for himself because the light is mine. If he puts it on, that's fine. If he comes to wash dishes and, by the way, turns on the light and it's for his own use, fine. And not only that, you can enjoy that light afterwards. Once he's turned it on, you can go join him and wash dishes. There's that would be mutter, but because he did it for the incentive here was for himself and not for me. But I can't, over here, the word we're discussing is not whether I can benefit or not benefit. The question is whether I can say it or not say it. If I'm saying something, go do a malacha, and the malacha, even though it's for the goy, but it takes place with an item that is mine, then that remains a malacha asura. Therefore, I can't, another example would be, so we said, can't tell him to use my car, can't tell him to turn on the lights for his own sake, nor can I tell him that he can use my washing machine. An exception to the rule would be Erev Pesach, if, as is going to be this year, Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and a person has leftover chametz after his morning meal on Shabbos morning, and now this man, Issa chametz, is coming. So generally what is accepted is you try and make sure that you don't have a lot left over. You try to eat it, you only leave over what you're going to need for. And you eat as much as you can, and a little bit of crumbs or whatever, the half a pita that you got left over, you break into little crumbs in your throat and you flush it down the toilet. That will be the most common way of getting rid of the chametz before this man Issa comes. But sometimes a person miscalculated and whatever it is. You can think of 101 cases of how that can happen. And now he's got a significant amount of chametz, and either he just doesn't have the time or doesn't want to throw it down the toilet. So you can call in a goy and say, here, take my chametz, yours as a gift. Keep it forever. I mean, if you want to give it back to you after Pesach, that's a separate discussion regarding chametz, which is mutter too. But you can tell him to take the chametz. Now the problem with being on Shabbos is what if he is going to now take that chametz home and he lives on the other side of the street where there's no eruv. So you're asking him essentially to take the chametz off your property, out of your property, and therefore you're asking him to do a malacha on Shabbos. So if the Rishus Harabim, if the place that he's taking it to is a Rishus Harabim Durabonon, which in most cases our cities are Rishus Harabim Durabonon, so then you are doing a Shvus to Shvus, the Macha Mitzvah. You're telling a goy to do a Drabonon, telling a goy to an Isra Drabonon, to do a Isra Drabonon, so it's a double Drabonon, in the circumstance of the need of a mitzvah, because I need to have the chametz out of my house, and I need to have my house chametz free, So there, I've got a mitzvah. So when the deciding factor here is a mitzvah, so then I'm allowed to do a shvus b'shvus. So there, I can give a goy my chometz on Erev Pesach to take out of my property, and he can then go take it home and do what he likes with it. But if he is going to be taking it, not he's going to be taking it. If the way I tend to get it off my property means that he needs to take it to Rosh Hashanah and Doraisa, you live on a street which is 16 amos wide. It has a traffic of 600,000 people, and it goes from one side of the city to the other, and it doesn't have doors that close at night. And that gets the definition of a public thoroughfare min ha-Torah. Then you're asking to do a Doraisa, so you can't ask him to do a Doraisa to take, even though it's saving you from the problem of chametz, you're going to have to find a different eater of how to do your chametz. Maybe you can get him to sit and eat it all on the spot, or help you crumb it and flush it. Although I didn't see it written clear, but it makes sense to me that if the public domain adjacent to your property is a place that is considered Issur Darabanan, and he is taking it to his house, and from there he needs to go to another place and another place and another place, he has to cross somewhere along the line of an Issur Daraisa, as long as you're not telling him to take it home, you're just telling him to take it out. So he could essentially just take it out your house and leave it on the sidewalk, or drop it at a friend of his who doesn't live on the other side of the Shusharam Daraisa. So you're requesting him to do a Darabana. He now goes and decides to do a Daraisa with it. That's not your issue. So it's only when the only way to get out of your property is through a Daraisa place would this restriction apply. Generally, I would say that therefore that's a very uncommon shaila. And the fact that if he's going to take it home, he's going to drive in his car, that's also not an issue. In the city, he might as well just walk. He doesn't have to go in his car. So therefore, I haven't told him to drive, I haven't told him to carry, I haven't told him. So therefore, that's not part of my mirror. Another interesting halacha is I can give a goy money on Erev Shabbos, lend it to him, give it to him. Now the money is in his rishus. Even if it's lent, it's still considered his money, and what he has to do, he has to pay it back after Shabbos. He doesn't have to pay back the same $100 bill. He can give him a new one. So therefore, the money is now his, and I can give him instructions. Go to the marketplace in Shabbos. There's a market coming up, a flea market coming up Shabbos, and you know that there's a certain bargain stand, and you need something from that bargain stand. And you tell him, go to the bargain stand and buy this particular item. And he says, I'm not interested, I don't want that item. He says, you buy it for yourself. But you know what? On Moshe Shabbos, I'll buy it off. So that is mutzah to tell him. I can't give him my money and tell him, go purchase something on my behalf. That is an issue that I'm telling him to do a malach on Shabbos for me. That even if I tell it to him on Friday, I can't. I'm not allowed to do that. But if I tell it that he should purchase it for himself, and I give him an incentive by saying that I'll buy it off you on Moshe Shabbos, so then that's mutter because I'm telling him to buy something for himself with money that is now his, even though I lent it to him. But Lamai said once he has borrowed it, it becomes his money. So he's taking his own money, he's buying something for himself, knowing, true, the incentive behind it is that he's going to be relieved of this item and he's not going to have to hold on to it. It's not going to cost him anything because he's going to pay for it. And not only that, you can even offer to compensate him for his efforts that he's done about on your behalf to go to the market and bring it and buy it and all the rest. That's a separate thing. You can hire a guy to do something for you on Shabbat. So since he's doing something which essentially is mutter because he's buying for himself, therefore I can compensate him for his efforts. So the mailer, that would be in the case you have a flea market selling some rare item that you're a collector of or you need or something like that. He has no interest and no want for such an item, therefore under normal circumstances he wouldn't buy it. But you give him money, you lend him money, and you tell him, go buy this for yourself. And he says, why should I do such a thing? I'll tell you why. Because the Moshe Shabbos, I'm going to buy it off you, and I'll pay you for your efforts. So then he has an incentive to do it, but he's doing something for himself. He's buying it for himself. So that he can sell it back. Okay, so that's the cases of telling a goy to do something for himself, where we said that so long as the item is not mine, then there's no problem with Amir. So we see that there's two conditions needed. One is that the malacha benefits himself, and two is the item that he's doing the malacha on belongs to him. So we can get him to cook for himself if the food is his, him to fix his own clothing if the clothing is his. when one of the two is missing, when the benefit is for me or when the item belongs to me, then there's still, then it reverts back to having the problem of Amira, and then you have to go to the rules of Amira. Whatever the case may be, that would be the separate case. But we came up today with a new getter, and that is that when you have an Amira that is given told to a goy for him to benefit himself and the item he's visited on belongs to him, then there's no problem of Amira in such a case. Now, there's another thing to discuss. There's a machlokes in the Gemara as to shvisas kelim. Let me explain. The pasuk tells us that Shabbos should be kept by you, by your servants, by your animal. And the way to learn animals is that your animal is allowed to do what he wants. He's allowed to eat grass, even if the grass is growing, and he bites it and does what would be considered melechus kohen. But he can't do anything not for himself if there's a melacha involved. So you can't put a load on an animal's back and let him walk through the rishus harabim, because that is shvisas behema. Now, the reason why I'm being a little careful in my way I say it is not that he's carrying it for me. Even if he's not carrying it, if my animal is doing something which for a human being is considered a melacha daraisa, if it's not for the sake of the animal, then it is also for the animal to do it. Even if it's not for me, it's for someone else. Therefore, I cannot let my cow, the one of the examples given is I have my animals taken to the watering hole by a goyish shepherd. He takes the animals to the watering hole, gives them to drink, and then he brings them back again. For that, they have to leave my private property, go out into the rishus harabim, and then come back again. Now, I have to make sure that the shepherd doesn't hang his coat over the back of my animal, because now the animal will be carrying his coat through the rishus harabim while it goes to the water. So even if it's not done for me, and I didn't ask him to do it, but that's something that I need to be aware of. There's such a thing called shvisas behema, and I can't let my animal do a melacha on Shabbos. Again, only when it's a melacha that's not for the good of the animal. The animal is allowed to graze and eat food, even though that would require him to do koitzer. So we discuss also with the lot that an animal eat mukta food. If I don't feed it to him, he can have it. The question is, will I can feed it? It's a separate story. But not for Amir La'akum. I just want to bring that in, because now comes the question, does this apply to Kalim as well? Do my non-live assets, are they restricted by the din of Shvisa? Beishamai holds yes, Beishila holds no, and we pass them Beishila. Therefore, if I own a cow, I can't let a goy ride, let's say a horse is a better example, I can't let a goy ride my horse, even if he has rented it or borrowed it and paid me for it, whatever, but I can't let him ride the horse on Shabbos, without getting into the discussion of highness, etc., whatever, but he can't use the horse, he can't use the plow, as a better example. But if I have a car, and the guy is using the car, without what we said earlier, I can't tell him to use my car. But he's got my car, whether he's borrowed it, rented it, or whatever, but the car, I didn't tell him anything. It's now in his rishus, and he has the right to use it. He has my car. There's no problem of shvisa that my car is doing a melacha on Shabbos. And therefore, I have no problem to... I have no problem of having a goy use my items. The problem would be is that he may not use it or use it while it's still on my property, nor may he remove it from my property on Shabbos. So if I have a car rental company and I set up an agreement, goy is renting a car for Shabbos, so and I have the car parked in my garage, so it's fine that I set up the rental agreement beforehand and it only starts on Shabbos or whatever. Good, all good, fine there. But he may not drive it out of my driveway on Shabbos. So if I do have a rental agreement with a goy that he starts on Shabbos, I have to make sure that the car is off my property before Shabbos comes in. And then, fine, no problem letting you. There's another issur, a maris ayin, that if I rent out something which is used to make money, let's call it that way, a tool, then I can't rent it out on a Friday. I'll give an example to explain. An attachment to a tractor that's used for plowing. So a plow is something that I rent out or I use myself. And if I'm not using it, then I try rent it out because I don't want to lie around for nothing. Expensive equipment that I've spent a lot of money on, I've got to pay for it, it's depreciating, and therefore I don't want it to lie doing nothing. And therefore I'll rent it out. So if I rent out a plow on Friday, then it looks like I told the goy to use it on Shabbos so that I can get my income from this item that I have, that I've rented out. And therefore there's a different type. It's not the regular Maris Ayin that we talk about, that when it's used, they think I'm using it. Yeah, we know the goy is using it, but they think the goy is using it so that he can pay you, so that it shouldn't lie around doing nothing. So I'm asking him to plow so that it shouldn't be done with nothing. Mashain came, meaning with, but on the other hand, if it's an item that's not usually related to its cost and what it can bring in. For example, something which is, say a kitchen utensil. If I have a magic mix in my kitchen, and true, I paid money for it and I want to use it, but my neighbor comes and knocks on my door, can I borrow your magic mix? You don't say, well, please pay me for it, I could use it myself. You lend it to them. Now, even if you have a way of renting it out, but it's not the type of item that you rent out because you need to cover its costs and all the rest. But someone uses the magic mix for his panos, he's making a cake for it, he's making some food for a meal that's different to a plow, which is something which you use in order to make panos. So if I rent out a magic mix, lend it or rent it, so then no one's going to think that, oh, I'm renting it out so that I can recover the cost of the money using it myself, and if I want him to use it in my place. But if it's a plow, or something that is used for work, yeah, chainsaw that the guy uses to cut down trees or whatever it is, these type of work tools, then there would be this problem. So again, Shvisa Kalim, meaning do my Kalim need to keep Shabbos? The answer is no. And therefore, if a goy is in possession of my kelim, my utensils, he may use them on Shabbos. If he has my car, or he has my magic mix, or he has my plow, or my tractor, whatever it is, he may use it on Shabbos. Whether it was borrowed or rented, or however he had it, had permission to use it, it's not a problem. I can give it to him without a problem. We only said that Shvisit Behema is the issue when it comes to an animal, but not when it comes to an inanimate object or utensil. There is a separate Maris Ayin that if it's the type of utensil that's used for parnos, that's used to make income, then you cannot give it to him on a Friday. You can give it to him on a Wednesday or a Thursday, but you cannot give it to him on a Friday. So that's the only restriction we have. So you can rent it to him, you can lend it to him. When it comes to lending, you can lend any item, because if it's lending, then you can see that there's no money cheshbonus involved. When it comes to renting, we have one case where it is clay avodah, which is tools for work, then we say do not rent it out on Friday. We also said that there's a restriction that if you're renting something out, it's got to leave your property for Shabbos. You can't let him take it off your property on Shabbos. Now, legabe shchar Shabbos, you're having your item rented out for a day and he's paying for the use of it for one day. So that, we said, is Shchar Shabbos, which is a problem. You may not rent something out for Shabbos only and get Shabbos money. Therefore, you should rent it out for more than Shabbos, and he shouldn't pay you every day. He should pay you Shabbos with something else included in what we call is Havlah. We discussed this earlier when we learned about Shchar Shabbos, about a person renting himself out or hiring help. So too, when you rent out your items, there's an issue of Shchar Shabbos. We said there's no Shchar Shabbos by paying a goy to do Malacha for you. That was a separate story, but when it's your items that are being rented out, there is a problem with Shchar Shabbos, and therefore you should make sure that renting out an item, that he's not paying for Shabbos alone. Shabbos must be paid for with some week time. The other restriction is when the item in question is very clearly a Jewish item, and everybody knows that it belongs to a Jew, So then there would be a restriction of not letting him use it on Shabbos because I think that you hired him to use your item. So if you have a, for example, we have in this country, company cars always have the name of the company printed on the back of the car, and it's a nice, it's a company that everybody knows that is from, so it's Ochel Mukhan Shabbat's company with a Heksha of the Bedat, cars painted up with all the adverts about the Ochel Mukhan Shabbat, and that comes with the Bedat Heksha, so we all know that this company is owned by From Yidden, and now you see this car driving down the street on Shabbos, that is a Maris Ayin, and therefore even though the owners rented out their work vehicle to a goy to use on Shabbos, this would be an example of something that you can't do because it's a Maris Ayin when this car that has the big sign that belongs to a From company driving around on Shabbos. Okay. Okay, we have some time left. So we've discussed two topics. Number one is telling a goy to do something for himself with an item that belongs to him. There's no problem of Amira. And then we discussed Shvisas Kalim, that my Kalim don't need to keep Shabbos, and therefore I can let a goy use my Kalim. We're with a couple of restrictions. He's just got to leave my property before Shabbos. I can't have Star Shabbos paid for it, and it mustn't have a Maris Ayin that he's been working with it for, to help me, and therefore I can't rent it on the, if it's that type of item that's rented out for panos reasons, that I can't do it on a Friday. That's been done before. Now, what about melacha that the goy did? Can I benefit from what he has done? We've said that you can't ask him. What happens if you did ask him? What happens if you didn't ask him, but he comes to do it on his own? And now there is something in front of you that needs that you want to know whether you're allowed to use or not. So, an example, typical example, first of all, what we call the examples, we made a difference when we spoke about this earlier, is that you're not allowed to have benefit for what a goy does. If the benefit is considered direct to your use, you could not have had use out of the situation or item without the goy's intervention. So if the room is very dark, and you can't read and you can't eat, and now he turns on the light, and now you can read and can eat, so that is considered that you get direct benefit. If the room was dim, and you could have survived it in the dark, but it was uncomfortable, now the goy turns on the light, so that's not considered direct benefit, and then you are allowed to have hanah for what he did. Same thing we said. If he turns the light off, so you could have fallen asleep with the light on, but it's not comfortable. Now that he turns it off, it's much better. You have deeper sleep, you sleep longer, you're not going to wake up during the night, whatever the case may be, but the might you could sleep, but now it gets better, so you're allowed to have benefits from that. So when it's not direct hanah, it's not the hanah that affects you that you couldn't do what you wanted to do beforehand, then you're allowed to have hanah, then you're allowed to have benefit from what he has done. Now we're going to talk about if it's direct benefit. You could not have eaten in the dark, you could not have read your book, and he comes in and turns on the light. What is the din? Do I have to leave the house? Do I have to leave the room? Must I tell him to turn it off? Etc. So we're going to say that essentially you're not allowed to have hanah from what the goy does. Not only that, you can't have hanah from what the goy does on Shabbos, even on Moitzeh Shabbos, you have to wait what's called b'chdei shi'asu, the time it takes for this melacha to effectuate itself is what you have to wait for Moitzeh Shabbos till you can have an offer. Now, turning on the light takes 1 second, so that doesn't have very practical nafkaminas, but if a goy brings you something from a neighboring town and he has to cross the Rishus Rabban in order to bring you this item, so you may not use this item on Shabbos, and on Moitzeh Shabbos he has to wait the time it takes for him to travel from there to here. It took him 4 hours to come, so Moitzeh Shabbos you can't use them until 4 hours have passed. Or you have food that needs to be cooked. You have a guy in the house, opened up the pot on the stove and found out, oops, it's still raw. We forgot to turn on the fire. And the guy turned on the fire, obviously without getting to issues of Bishul Akum, either the pot was placed on the stove by the Yid before Shabbos, maybe you're talking about something where Bishul Akum is not relevant, whatever the case may be, or you had a dish that was cooked and you opened up the stove and I saw a publication talking about this particular halacha, and he says, Janita was in your kitchen and opened up the stove and said, ay, caramba, and discovered that your roast is just about to burn and become inedible, and she put in a couple of cups of water. And now she saved your roast, and you have something for Shabbos morning. May you eat this food on Shabbos morning. Without her intervention, this roast would have been charcoal and not roast. Now that she's intervened and done her malacha of adding water in, can I have the roast? The answer is no, I cannot have this roast. I have to wait till Moshe Shabbos, and I have to wait the time it takes to cook. Well, at least what her tikkun is done, so not that long the whole time of cooking, till I can have another b'chdei shi'asu. However, there are circumstances where we're going to say the halacha is this. Number one is that if you ask the goy to do it for you, then not only did you do the avera of asking them, but anything that they've done you may not have benefit from. If it's the direct kanah, then you may not have benefit from the direct kanah, and Moshe Shabbat you go to wait to say shi'asu. Right. Okay. Number two is, a guy came to do something on his own. He saw you sitting in the dark, walked into the room, and said, oh, I'm going to turn on the light. You're supposed to get up and say, don't. Instead, you keep quiet. So here we're going to be a little bit easier going on you, and we're going to say that true, you were wrong by not objecting, and therefore you can't have direct benefits. So if you turn on the light, we'll say you don't have to leave the house, but there's certain things you can't do. You're allowed to carry on the conversation you were having in the dark, because the conversation you can have in the dark, so you can have a conversation when it's light also. But reading your reading material is not allowed, because that is now enabled by the issue of letting the goy have to turn it on. If the goy came to turn on the light and you told him not to and he refused to listen, so now he did it against your will, so then you're allowed to have benefit. Okay. We're running out of time. There's one more. Okay, we'll bring it in next week. So that's we're going to hold it there for this week, and wish everybody a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.